Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Marguerite Kirk, and Marguerite specializes in business law and small business reorganization. She is an attorney, as I said, and we do not intend to hold that against her. And she is a board certified in bankruptcy by the State Bar of Texas and the American Bankruptcy Institute. She lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Marguerite, welcome back. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you with us.
Morning. Thank you.
I was about to say welcome back. You and I have kind of gotten to know each other over the last week or so. We've talked a few times, and my audience, you know, all my audience might not know this, but I try to make sure that whenever I bring a guest on the show that I've visited with them at least once, maybe a couple of times, just to sort of get to know them, and that makes for a better interview. And so by the time that you get on the show, Marguerite, it's almost like we're friends.
Right.
Old friends, I should say.
I feel like I've been here before.
Absolutely. Folks, Marguerite's book is 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. Now, if I were going to be a little bit mean, Marguerite, I would say this is rather presumptuous of you to call it the Ten Commandments. But let me tell you the rest of the story. I'm gonna have to be honest with you. I'm working on my first book, and guess what? My first title was gonna be
the Ten Commandments.
No. Even worse than that, the Small Business Bible.
Sounds good.
So I didn't think you were presumptuous at all. I chose not to do that, by the way, because I did a little research and found out that someone had used that title about 15 years ago. But anyway, I've moved on, and I've got some other things in it, and I've changed the title around. But I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Folks, the 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. Marguerite, this is an outstanding book. As I mentioned off the air, I've dog-eared your book within an inch of its life, and I want to go ahead and just get into the book and talk a little bit about these 10 commandments, and let's get as far as we can go this hour. We may not get through all 10 of them, and if we don't, we'll have you back and finish them up. But the first commandment, you say, is specialize in what you know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Well, I think, you know, that's the first commandment in my book, and I really think that's the most important commandment, because if you don't love what you're doing, you're not going to get anywhere. And, you know, Jim, one of the things I mentioned in my book, and this is my experience and probably yours, I mean, how many people have early in the morning gone in a donut or a bagel shop and seen an owner sitting there asleep, you know, with cold coffee?
I mean,
I'm sure you've had that happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
You go back there? No. You know, as opposed to you go somewhere and it's bustling and everything smells good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a simple example, but today, what it takes to run a business, you have to love it, because you have to put in that extraordinary effort that it takes.
Well, one of the things that I tell people is if you're going to be successful in small business, you need to have the spirit of an entrepreneur, but you've also got to have the heart of a sole proprietor.
I like that.
And what I mean by that is anybody, not anyone, but it's the fun part, I should say, the fun part is imagining a business and creating it and growing it. That's the exciting part. But the other part, once you've got that business, now what are you going to do with it? And it's like when it's like having this baby. It's so wonderful, but you know, now that it's got a dirty diaper, what are you going to do with it? and that's the way a business is. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've got money problems, you got vendor problems, you got customer problems, and you've got to be prepared to turn the lights on and turn the lights off every day.
Day in and day out.
You're the one
that has
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known business owners, like you were saying, Marguerite, and you have too, that weren't prepared to do that. They actually believed that being a small business owner meant that they could take it easier than when they were an employee.
You know, I saw an example of that the other day. A woman came in to see me, and about 9 months ago, she opened an environmental company, taking asbestos out of schools, and that's a real lucrative business.
Yeah.
She came in from Ecuador, so she decided since she was doing so well, she'd take off a couple of weeks, go visit
mm-hmm.
her relatives. Well, that turned into 5 weeks, and then she called and asked her boss, not her boss, but her supervisor of her company.
Mm-hmm.
She was the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Can I stay a couple more weeks?
Can I stay a couple?
She came to see me after she got back and said, what happened? But it's exactly what you said.
Yep.
She had the money now. She thought she could just coast.
Well, now, that might have been a case of a little bit of a culture problem, because you and I both know people in other parts of the world think nothing of taking a 30-day holiday, you know, and wandering around the world. I've seen that a lot. But in America, you know, people don't do stuff like that. You can't do things like that.
No, you can't. And, I mean, like you said, like even in Mexico in August, people partly close down, but the culture expects it. But
yeah.
Here, they expect you to answer the phone and be there.
Absolutely. It's just the way the culture is.
Mm-hmm.
No, and by the way, folks, one of the things that I'd like to point out about Marguerite's book is that, there are lots of stories, interviews and conversations that Marguerite has had, lots of stories with other small business owners that are in the book, and it makes it very, very interesting. You know, I've met people who, one guy actually said to me that he just started this business. He'd only been in business 6 months or so, and he was lamenting the fact that he wasn't making as much money as he made when he was an employee. He had left a good job. And I said, well, what did you expect? He said, oh, I expected to make more money.
Right away.
Exactly. Immediately. Day one, he expected that. And the thing that I told him, I says, well, let me disabuse you of that notion right now. And here's what happens. They see other people being successful in small business and being able to play golf almost whenever they want to, driving around in the new automobile. They see their lifestyle. But what they're looking at is someone who has been in their business for maybe 10 years, maybe 20, maybe 30 years.
Exactly.
Go back, before you get excited about what those people are doing, go back and ask them how it was the first year or two that they were in business. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, give me a call. And James is on the board. He's the best. He'll put you through to me and our special guest, our new friend Marguerite Kirk, the author of Ten Commandments of Small Business Success. And let's move over to the second commandment, which ties it in directly with the first commandment. And the second one is understand the entrepreneurial mindset. If you've never been an entrepreneur, Marguerite, how can you understand it?
Well, I think that you almost have to just jump into it. You can do a lot of reading. I think that's going to prepare you for it. But kind of what I pointed out in the book are several things that you have to do. First of all, you have to be there and mind the store.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that just a second ago.
Yeah, you know, and I love, on the other part of that, I love the story about Norman Brinker. You know, where he used to dress like he's with Steak and Ale, has a lot of restaurants. You know, he used to dress like a country bumpkin and go outside of his restaurant. When people would come out, he'd say, you know, how's the food? What's it like in there? And nobody knew who he was. How better than to find out how your service is?
Absolutely.
You know? So I think that's real important. I mean, you have to be there, and you have to, like you mentioned, not give up, not have excuses.
But now, one of the things that I found is that, and I was sort of alluded to that a minute ago when we talked, when I mentioned having the spirit of an entrepreneur but the heart of a sole proprietor.
Mm-hmm.
You say in your book, "Do not give up in hard times." Some people are so much of an entrepreneur that they've always got to be doing a deal. They've always got to be creating something new, when maybe all what they really should be doing is operating what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be an operator. I mean, you may be an entrepreneur, but you may not be an operator.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people, Marguerite, is that if you are that, then you need to recognize it. You need to believe it when someone tells you that, if someone does, a good friend or someone does, and you need to find an operator to operate what you've created.
Find somebody that you can trust that you know knows how to do it.
Right.
And those people are out there.
Right, right.
You can actually find them.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you talk about is to avoid the excuse book trap. Tell us what the excuse book is.
The excuse book trap, that comes from a story, you know, that I tell in the book. My son Kai, when he was about 4 or 5 years old, like any mother, I wanted him to be a great pianist, and I had him play the cello, play the piano, whatever, and we'd go to piano lessons. Of course, he hadn't practiced. He hadn't done anything. I mean, he's a little sports-minded kid, and he would come out with all these excuses to Ms. Bowles, his piano teacher, why he hadn't practiced, you know, from the dog ate my homework. We know that one now.
Right.
Now it's the computer ate my homework, you know. To everything.
My hard drive crashed.
Right. Well, Miss Bowles would say, you know, she'd look at Kai and she'd say, okay, that's excuse number 34. Don't you have another one?
Right.
And I remember that, her excuse book, you know, everything he came up with.
And that, none of that works when you're a business owner. You know, when you're an employee, Marguerite, and you're in sales, let's say, and business is not going well, you know, for whatever reason, it's slow, that you're not doing as well this week or this month, then, you know, we've all seen the 100 excuses why we can't get any business this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fair's in town, or it's back to school, or it's just too hot, or people aren't getting out when it's raining. If you are the owner, you can't have any excuses.
Right.
Not even one.
And the other side of that is sometimes, you know, if you have an excuse, chances are, if it has to do with the weather or whatever, maybe 85% of the other businesses have that excuse. So sometimes that's when you can really do well. I mean, like, take real estate or law or anything that's cyclical. Everything's cyclical, right?
Right. You have to learn to deal with that. And the people who are successful long term are the people who find a way to be successful when things are tough.
Exactly.
And they're also able to look inwardly at themselves. That's very important, I think, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You have to know yourself, and you have to know what you're capable of, what you like, and know what your beliefs are.
Another thing in this commandment that you talk about, the second commandment of understanding the entrepreneurial mindset, you say stay flexible.
Yes. You've got to stay flexible, and that also goes into the business plan, because in your business, you've got to be ready to move. You know, you've got to be ready to jump, whether it's like Taekwondo or whatever. You don't meet your opponent stiff and hard.
Right.
You know, you've got to be ready to move, ready to jump. Whatever happens, you've got to have that covered.
Absolutely. And folks, we're going to take a break in just a few seconds. And when we come back, what I want to do is, Marguerite has 20 questions that you should ask yourself if you're considering starting a business. And we're going to go over some of those. It's 29 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Marguerite Kirk is our special guest. She's the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. Stay with us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Marguerite Kirk. She's the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. That's toll-free coast-to-coast, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can go to find out more about my guests, and you can find out about the new on-demand capability that the show available on-demand from our website. And Marguerite, would you like to give us a way that our audience can contact you if they like?
Yes. Are you talking about buying the book or contacting
tell us where the book is available, but how would they contact you if they wanted to?
Well, the easiest way right now is to contact me through my email, which is margkirk, margkirk@flash.net.
At flash?
.net.
.net. Okay, good. And where's the book available?
The book's available. You can get it on Amazon.com, on the Internet. You can order it through your bookstore, or you can get it through bookhome.com, which is the publisher.
Right, okay. And bookhome.com, that's the Scott and Shirley Gregory, isn't it?
Exactly.
They've been on my show before. They're good folks.
Oh, they're incredible. This book was a team effort, and they added so much to it because they had worked with small businesses.
I'm glad to know that. I haven't had them on in a while. I'll have to get them back on.
Marguerite, we're
not going to get through all 10 commandments today because I want to stop on something. We'll get you back real soon and work some more on the 10 commandments, and we will do some more today. But before we do, I want to talk about this exercise that's in your book that I really like a lot. It's running a business requires a different mindset from working a job. We just talked about that a minute ago. Following our 20 questions you should ask yourself if you are considering starting a business. And that is on page 55. Marguerite, talk to us about these.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that some of these, you know, there's certain abilities and everything and ideas. We're going to talk about them. But some of these, if you don't have that particular talent, maybe you can get somebody to do it.
Right.
But some of them are just innate things that if you don't have this particular mindset and ability, you don't have any business running.
Some things are essential and some things are hireable.
You said it very well.
Yeah. I've talked about that a lot with people that I advise. You know, they would get all excited about some individual or they would need a certain thing, and I don't want to hurt your feelings here, but they start talking about attorneys.
Oh, yes.
And I say, all right, look, if there's one thing that we can get whenever we want it, is an attorney. Don't worry about that right now. You know, you need somebody to help you run this business. Don't worry about your attorney. You see what I mean? I mean, obviously, we weren't needing an attorney right then, but there are certain disciplines that you hire.
Well, see, I would disagree with you, though, about the attorney, because I think you need to find one when you don't need one.
Oh, I know it, but that's a story for another
show.
Day, Marguerite. I knew she was going to say that. Anyway, let's talk about the first one. Do you have organizing ability?
Yes, you have to be able to think in a way that you can tell other people what to do. You know, you have to be able to say, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got to have somewhat of a sequential mind.
And even if you're not the person that's running the business, you need to be able to manage that person, don't you?
Right, because one of the worst things that happens, and something that happens commonly, you know, somebody hires somebody to run their business, and then they wonder why they don't know what's going on. You know, the owner comes in and has no clue what anybody's doing.
Well, and the other thing that happens is that person gets really good at what they're doing, and the next thing you know, your competitors hired them away.
Right.
Or some other industry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number two, are you in good health, and are you able to endure long hours?
I think that's a given.
That's true.
You've got to be in good shape.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you do, whether you get up and walk or you watch what you eat, whatever it takes, you know, whatever your particular thing is, if you look at all the good business people, they're in good shape. You can't run a business and have a heart attack.
If you are an employee and you literally can't make it through the day, hardly, and you get home and you just crash, forget being a small business owner.
Exactly. Unless you hate your job and you find out that's the reason.
Well, but yeah. If your job is just worn you down spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And you're exactly right. You got to have something to get excited about. Now, this third one I like too is: are you self motivated?
You've got to be able to get up and go to that donut shop and greet those customers when you don't feel good, and you've got to be able to smile and have hot donuts and hot coffee.
You know, I can't imagine staying home. I'm very fortunate. I don't get sick. I mean, I've never had the flu, and I really I've got good protoplasm, and I thank God for that. But whenever I do feel a little bad, or I'm having one of those days when you just can't seem to get it going, the last thing in the world I want to do is stay home.
Mm-hmm. You know, if when you get out, you feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you do, and I think that has to do, there's so much coming out now, and of course it's been around for years, the connection between the mind and the body.
Right.
If you're doing what you love, you're going to be a lot healthier.
No question. And you've got to focus on nurturing your spirit.
Exactly.
I talk about that a lot on the show. We're going to talk about that again at the end of the week with Tom Feltenstein, his book called Uncommon Wisdom. You've got to nurture your soul. You've got to have things in your life that do nurture your soul. Whether that be your faith, whether it be your family, your friends, or whatever it might be, you've got to be able to do that, don't you?
And that's got to be an essential part of your business. I think it's real important that people realize that you are your business. You can't, you know, you can't run a gambling casino if you think gambling is wrong.
Right.
Or whatever.
I want to one more quick one, and we're going to take a break, then we're going to move on. Are you psychologically ready to take some risks?
You know, some people aren't comfortable taking risks. It just drives them crazy.
Yeah.
You've got to be a risk taker.
If you're not a risk taker, you don't need to be in small business, do you? In fact, you might not even need to be an employee of a small business. Stand by, folks. We're going to get into some of the other commands when we come back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Marguerite Kirk is our special guest, and her book is 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. And our special guest is our new friend, Marguerite Kirk. She's the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. And we've been talking about those 10 commandments, and we stopped for a second and talked about an exercise that she has in there, which are some questions that you should ask yourself if you're considering starting a business. And I want to come back another day and spend more time on those questions, Marguerite. But I want to move on into the third commandment. But before we do, I want you to tell our audience where your book is available.
The book is available through bookhome.com, which is the publisher, amazon.com, which is, of course, online, and then you can go to your bookstore and order it.
Okay.
And your bookstore may have it in already.
Okay.
But it's easily available.
How long has the book been out?
The book has been out since the end of April of this year, 99.
Good deal.
Some college bookstores are now carrying it.
10 Commandments of Small Business Success by Marguerite Kirk. That's the one you're looking for, folks. The third commandment, Marguerite, let's talk about cause cash to flow?
Well, I talked about flow because I think that cash, you should think of it like electricity. You've got to keep it moving in order to make it work. And the other thing that is very important is, you know, people have a business plan, but they have a business plan that is this great big book somebody drew up for them to get an SBA loan, and it sits on the shelf and it gathers dust. And that's not what I'm talking about when I say cause mm-hmm. cash to flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to have a business plan that works every day, and you've got to keep that money moving.
Well, and one of the things that I tell people, and I've said it recently, and they've heard me say, those who've listened to me for very long have heard me say this several times, profit is the queen of business, but cash is king.
That's great. I like that very much. You know, the thing that happens that I see a lot of times is, especially with a new entrepreneur, they get an SBA loan or they get money from the bank, and they think that's their cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, you start a business, you've got cash in your pocket. So they tend to spend that money without having a plan, thinking, what's going to happen when business slows down in six
mm-hmm.
months?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Quickly, some of the things that you point out in your book about how to let cash flow, and you say collect receivables. Obviously, you got to do that. But it's not just collecting receivables is intuitive, but the plan that you have for collecting those receivables might not be intuitive. You've got to have a plan to do that, to be able to get all of your money in, because everyone's not going to send you your money when you expect them to.
Right, and I think it depends on the type of business that you have, how you collect it. A lot of times hiring somebody or collection agency is not the best thing. You know, with a small business, sometimes if you call, you know, if you've got a big customer who's not paying you, sometimes a call to the owner of that company
Absolutely.
Gets you your money.
I know a company that if you haven't paid in 30 days, they automatically turn you over to an attorney.
See,
and I told them, I said, look, you know, why don't you just get on the phone and call people?
Uh-huh. Well, that makes you not want to pay.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's what was happening. It was irritating everyone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a video store that if you're $4.35, you owe. They send you this bill saying, we're sending this to collection.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Unbelievable.
Come on, who's running their PR store? You know? It makes you not want to pay it.
Right. And there's a lot of other things here, folks, that she talks about, tightening your credit requirements, cut off deadbeats, use early payment discounts, which is an excellent idea, charge late fees and try to collect them too, by the way. Take out short-term loans, keep salaries down early. Now, that's an important one. Keep salaries down early, and the employees may not like to hear that, but small business owners have really got to manage how they pay their people, don't they?
And there's, you know, if there's a way to pay a commission or, I know, you know, in my own experience with my law practice, we had a sign up and it was a chart. And I'd say, this is what we're going to do this month. This is what we're going to do. And if we got over a certain amount, they got a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, even though they were on salary, but boy, they were tied to that. They were collecting money. They were nice to people. You know, it was amazing when they were looking at that every day.
One of the things that in this chapter, you call causing cash to flow and business planning, you say that entrepreneurs avoid planning. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think that entrepreneurs, you know, the fact that you are an entrepreneur, part of that personality is that you're ready to go at any second, that you are flexible.
Shoot from the hip all the time.
Yes, yes. Like you're talking about, you know, the guy that plans forever,
mm-hmm.
The old man, you know, the typical... typical thing you look at where you just go on and always have a new idea and keep going to that. But you've got to sit down and do the busy work too, if you want to call this busy work.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the cash flow, when a business starts, there is that excitement about it. So you work hard, you go out, you contact people, you know, you do everything by the book. And I think owners don't realize in the beginning, sometimes the business can do real well or seem like it. And then after 6 months, they say, oh, you know, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that networking. I don't want to call customers. We're doing okay. And then
that's the dirty diaper part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying in the earlier first part of the hour. That's the maintenance part. That's the operational part. And that part's not fun, is it?
And that's what you have to plan.
Yeah.
You've got to say, I'm going to make these calls, I'm going to do this, and it's like your homework.
It's the key to my success. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it, because if I don't do it, I will not be successful.
Right.
Stand by, Marguerite. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We're visiting with Marguerite Kirk, the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back. Stay with us, please.
Hello.
We are back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to a show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to succeed. And our special guest and our new friend this hour does the same thing every day in her business. She is an attorney. She helps people, small businesses who have problems. And if someone wanted to contact you by phone, how would they do that, Marguerite?
It's area code 817-354-4900.
And give us your email again, please.
Marg Kirk, MARGKIRK, at flash.net.
All right. And the book is 10 Commandments of Small Business Success, folks. It's in your bookstores. If they don't have it, they'll order it for you, or you can order it from the online bookstores, especially Amazon, right?
Yes.
And also
Barnes & Noble, all of them have it.
Okay. Yes. And also from your publisher, which is Book Home Press.
Right, bookhome.com.
Bookhome.com. Marguerite, Shirley and Scott Gregory do a great job. They're friends of mine, and they'll take care of you. Marguerite, we're not going to get through with the commandments all the way, as obviously, today. We're going to get you back on the show in another in the future, as soon as we can schedule it, and we'll do some more of these. But let's wrap up the hour by talking about the fourth commandment: comply with law, with tax laws, as you say, render unto Caesar.
You know, you would think that businesses would pay taxes. And I think that most business owners plan to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 70% of the businesses I see in bankruptcy are in bankruptcy because the final catalyst was they didn't pay their taxes.
They spent the money.
Yeah, IRS.
It wasn't somebody sitting there saying, okay, you took a dollar in, we need to hold a quarter of that out, like they did when they were employee.
Exactly. You know, an IRS will come close you down.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't mess around.
Well, I'll tell you, they'll close you down for income taxes, but they'll close you down and put you in jail for not paying your withholding taxes for your employees.
Right.
They get really ill about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's considered trust fund taxes because you take that, you know, an employer takes that money out of his employee's salary.
Mm-hmm.
It's deducted. And so that really belongs to the employee, not the employer.
That's right.
But then you've got that fund sitting in the bank, and you haven't sent it in yet, and times get rough. You think, well, you know, I'll just borrow some of this tax money.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I do.
And that happens to good people, Marguerite.
Well, I tell businesses what you need to do, and this may seem small, but what you need to do in the beginning is every time you write checks for your employees, you write a check to IRS and you send it in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the safest way, because you're going to have times that are up and times that are down, and that just gets rid of temptation.
Well, what happens, though, is here comes this money, especially if you're in a cash business. Let's say you're in retail and it's all cash. You're in a restaurant business or a retail or grocery store or something like that. You don't have terms. You're not giving your customers terms. And here's all this cash, and your bills aren't due yet, and your taxes aren't due yet, and you've got all this money. Heck, I can take a vacation. I'm making more money than I ever thought I was going to.
That's right. Take a month off.
Very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Very dangerous. You've got to set money aside, and that is one of the hardest things for small business owners to do, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. And I think that the taxes, the problem also that comes in with taxes is you have penalties on that. You have once IRS gets your number and says you're late on these taxes, I mean they don't get off of you.
Yeah.
And not only that, we all know IRS records are not the best. So if you flub it one time, I mean, it's a nightmare to straighten it out.
And if you go very long, before long, the taxes are not as much as the interest and the penalties.
Oh,
Marguerite,
yes.
We got to wrap it up for this hour. We're going to have you back again real soon. You did a great job today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Marguerite Kirk, ladies and gentlemen, the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. I got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.